Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the time is now past,'" getting late in the afternoon, "'send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away." The passage goes on, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to help me to preach this message. As I read it, I see Jesus Christ. I see him and not me. I see him and not my church, my denomination, my group, my this or that. But I see Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you for the power of God to rest upon me, that I would faithfully teach your word. And at the end of the broadcast, the people would do as I. They would see as I do, Christ. And as the song says, that the things of the world would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, as John the Baptist said, "Let us decrease, that Christ, the day star, would rise in our hearts and he would increase." And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the credit, all the praise, glory, and honor. And in that matchless, marvelous name we pray. Amen. We've studied this before, several times, in fact. The feeding of the 5,000, and then they got into a ship and went to the other side. We're in the middle of our series talking about sanctification, and this passage, and the one that I'm fixing to read in a minute, is perfect. We're looking at the life of Peter, and we'll get to him in a little bit. But this passage, this great story, this wonderful event, that Jesus, after teaching the people and healing their sick, that he fed the 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a great miracle to be sure. But we've studied this before, as I said. You have to look at all four Gospels to get the full picture of exactly what was happening. And I don't want to preach that again. There's a lot here that I should say, I could say, but have said already. And the point here, as I prayed, is that Christ would be seen. We understand that sanctification means that we're separated unto God and for His use. And this great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, leads right into an uncomfortable, trying circumstance for the disciples. It says that straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship in verse 22 and to go before Him to the other side. They were all singing and dancing, maybe. Hey, look what the Lord has done. Talk about healing my body, what have you, and touch my mind. Happy for that song. But they probably were singing the praises of God. They may have danced, I don't know, but there was a great miracle. 5,000 people fed from just a little boy's lunch, it says. After the multitude, whatever sicknesses they had, they were healed of whatever disease that they had. Wouldn't it be great to go to church, go to prayer meeting sick, and come back healed by the power of God? Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus was here. And that was fantastic, but Jesus constrained His disciples. Look, y'all get in a boat, go to the other side. Y'all've got to do it. I mean, I'm happy about the miracles, glad people were fed, glad people were healed. But it's time you guys get in the boat. Cut the party short. Y'all got to go to the other side. I'm going to get there, He said. You go first. He constrained His disciples. Left them no other choice. Look, you've got to do this. And there's a lot of backstory here. There's passages where it says that the people that listened to Him and followed Him, at one point they wanted to make Him king, which is true, He is the King of the Jews. But He had to go the way of the cross first. And again, it's a lot of backstory, but the point of this passage here is that people would get their eyes onto the Lord in a correct fashion, mindful of many things, the cross, sanctification, the eventual coming kingdom, what have you. You disciples, you've got to get in the boat and go to the other side. And it says in verse 23, He sent the multitude away, and He went up into a mountain by Himself to pray, and when He was come down in the evening, and when evening came, it says He was there alone. And that is important. Now we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God come from heaven. He had to have some alone time with God the Father. If Jesus Christ, God's Son, comes down to earth and has to go by Himself to pray, maybe that's an example we ought to follow. Maybe He's teaching us that we need to get alone ourselves with the Bible and in prayer, if we're to be separated unto God and for His use. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostle says we're going to give ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. But it says, after they had gotten in the ship, the disciples, they were in the middle of the sea, halfway across, that the boat was tossed with waves, a storm came up, what have you. And it says, for the wind was contrary. They started at one side. If they were in the south, they had to go to the north. If they were in the east, they had to go to the west. Whatever the case, they had to go across. but the wind was in their faces. And they may have had a sail, I don't know, they may have been rowing, I don't know, but it's hard going, especially if you're rowing and the wind is in your face. A strong wind and waves breaking over the bow. For the wind was contrary. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Speaking of Christ and the church, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There's a lot packed into that right there. Some will teach that we're predestined to go to heaven or to go to hell, and that's absolutely false. Calvinism is false. Calvinism's a doctrine of no hope. And I guess I could chase that rabbit a while, but let's not. But we understand God's foreknowledge. God is omniscient. God knows everything before it happens. God knows if you will live or die. He knows if you're going to get right with God or not. He knows. He knows everything. He's God. He's above everything. He's in heaven looking down. He sees everything. God certainly foreknows who is going to get saved. But he does not predestinate or choose ahead of time or what have you. To this one, you're going to go to heaven, and this other guy over here, no matter what he does, he can't be saved. Go to church all your life, pay your tithe, sing in the choir, but it doesn't matter because you're not part of the elect. That's foolishness. But it does mention foreknowledge again in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Foreknowledge and predestination. But it says, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's not predestinated who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It's predestinated that if you're going to come to God, for whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. If you choose to come to God, God's got a destiny for you. And that destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to deny himself and take up his cross and to be nailed to it, and he hung and bled for you and me. Remember, he said, not my will, O God, in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't want to do this. Please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We're to be conformed to the image of that. Denying ourselves. If we're going to be sanctified, we're going to be set apart unto God and for his use, I would rather do other things. I would rather do other things. Growing up, one of the things I wanted to do was be a musician. And I'm a fair one, I suppose, maybe, if I practice a bit. I wanted to play in clubs. I wanted to play rock and roll music. I wanted to play in clubs. I wanted to do what have you. And all that goes with it. That lifestyle. And that sin and darkness. That's what I wanted to do. But God had other plans for me. There are other things that I could name that I wanted to do in my life, but God had other plans for me. And it's God's will, and in fact, he predestinated that I be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It's not I'm the head and not the tail. It's not I'm going to get my hundredfold return. It's not this and that. It's that I be made conformable unto his death. It's that I was predestinated to be conformed to the image of his suffering Son. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Just as he denied himself, he took up his and was nailed to it. We have to take up ours. We have to deny ourselves. We have to say, no, I shouldn't be going to do that on Friday and Saturday night. Instead, I need to say, you know, I don't want to sin, Lord. Keep me from that stuff. Help me to live right in a godly life. Again, sanctification has to do with separation from your old ways, from the way that you used to think, the things that you enjoy, what have you. Separated unto God and from that other stuff, and for God's use. But he said, disciples, we fed the multitudes, healed the sick, preached the gospel a little bit. It's time for you to get in the boat and go to the other side. The wind was contrary to them. They were not in a comfortable position. They had contrary circumstance. But they were doing the will of God because Jesus said, get in the boat, go to the other side. Come on, jump to it, let's go. They were in the will of God, yet the wind was contrary. The wind was so strong, the waves were breaking over the boat. They were getting wet. They were tired out, not comfortable. But they were in the will of God. Sometimes it's going to be hard going. You're not going to get it all like you want it. Not all a bed of roses, as they say. It's the way of suffering. It's the way of contrary circumstances. But it says that they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming to them. And they were afraid, it says, and they didn't know what to do, didn't know, thought it was a spirit, didn't know what was going on. But in verse 27, it says, Jesus said to them, be of good cheer. It's me, Jesus. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, tell me to come out, jump over the side and get in the water and walk out to you. And he says, come on. Verse 29, and Peter jumped out, and Peter walked on the water. Just like Jesus was doing, Peter walked on the water. I don't know how far Jesus was away, maybe 50 feet. Peter got, you know, 20, 30 feet and started to look at the waves. Notice the wind. I mean, he was all full of faith, and he was kind of skipping as he went, walking to the Lord. Hey, I'm walking on the water. Look at me. But then he got his eyes on the circumstances. He got his eyes on the wind and the waves, the salt spray in his face, and he began to sink. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus reached out and said, hey, why'd you doubt, O ye of little faith? When they got back to the boat, all the disciples, they worshiped God, and they said, of a truth, we're sure that this is the Son of God. I mean, look at this great miracle. He's walking on the sea. Now, the place it says the wind and the waves obeyed him. And really, there were two incidences of going across. One, Jesus was asleep in the boat, and this one, he was walking to them. But again, in contrary circumstances. And you can say, we don't have any troubles. We don't have any problems. If we stop looking at the circumstance and look at the Lord, we'll be all right. And certainly we could preach that. Certainly. But the message that I'm preaching today is about forsaking self and trusting God and depending upon Him and not using our eyes. Now, they had it great before they got in the boat. A lot of people got healed. He was teaching the gospel, Jesus was. Maybe some folks got saved. And then the great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. But immediately, y'all got to get in the boat. And then the contrary circumstance. A few great miracles. And then this walking on the water Jesus did. Oh yeah, and Peter too. If we'll trust him, we can walk on the water. But that's not the message of this passage. It's to trust him. To look at him. To depend upon him. And to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Because it's God's will. We're predestined, as a matter of fact, to be conformable unto his death and the fellowship of his sufferings, Paul said. Now there's a second miracle of the loaves and fishes. That's in Matthew 14. You flip over at chapter Matthew 15. It says that this time it was 7 loaves. And not 5,000, but 4,000 that ate. And it says in verse 39, right after that, and they sent away the multitudes and took ship, got back into another boat, and came to the coast of Magdala. It's the same pattern. The feeding of the multitude, the numbers are a little bit different. 7 loaves, 4,000 fish. But immediately they got into another boat and went on another journey. Now that was an easy journey. Doesn't say there was any wind or waves, what have you. But it's the same pattern. And some people miss the fact that there are two miracles dealing with feeding of the multitude. But in John chapter 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And further on down in verse 48, I am that bread of life. So the feeding of the 5 and the 4,000, and the denial of self and the weight of the cross, it had to do with partaking of Jesus Christ, getting to know him, and eating of him, because he's the bread of life. But if we come to him and believe on him, we'll never hunger and we'll never thirst. We'll have salvation and life everlasting if we come and trust in him. And it says that if you eat of him, you'll never thirst. The woman at the well, remember, Jesus said, if you ask of the water that I can give you, it'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life, and you'll never, ever thirst again. Again, the focus is on him and forsaking ourselves. Again, we should get our eyes off of us and our ways and our understanding and our desires and our circumstances. We should look to him and allow the Holy Spirit to do something in our hearts to sanctify us, to consecrate us, and to do a mighty work in our lives, and to get us ready for heaven, so that when we get there, we'll feel like we fit right in. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.